From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. It's always good to have my guest today, John C. Reilly, with me. His new movie with the Duplass Brothers is Cyrus. But since he was last here, he's done the promotion, one of my favorite films, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
A terrific performance, a really smart movie. He got to Walk Hard, another great film. He's done a bunch of stuff. But, John, first of all, thanks so much for coming back.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure to be here.
If you can do the thing you have to do and let the audience know what Cyrus is about a little bit.
It's a movie about two people that fall in love at a party, and they're close to 40 years old or thereabouts, and my guy has been divorced for 7 years, and he's kind of in an emotional tailspin in his life, and he's looking for anything to pull him out of this tailspin. And he meets Marissa Tomei's character, Molly, and she's looking for someone just to tell her the truth. And, you know, they're both kind of over the illusions of dating of their younger years, and they hit it off in this unlikely way, basically because my guy gets really drunk and is so pathetically honest that she finds him appealing. And then things are going well, except she's being kind of cagey about, you know, her home situation. I keep suspecting that she's married, or I ask her, are you a secret agent? You know, where are you going? Why can't you spend the night here in my house? And it turns out, you know, after I kind of do some stalking, for lack of a better word, I kind of go to her house just to find out and satisfy my curiosity. She's got this son who's 21 years old that's never left the house, who's been homeschooled and breastfed to a very late age. And they're incredibly close, and that's the title character, Cyrus, played by Jonah Hill. And so the rest of the movie becomes this kind of three-way relationship where I'm trying desperately to make this relationship work with this ticking time clock in the background of my ex-wife's new wedding coming up. So like a lot of people do when they're going to an ex's wedding or going to a wedding, any wedding, is that everyone tries to look their most lovable or their most successful or whatever.
Their most attractive.
Yeah,
you
the most
look
attractive.
Good. Like,
yeah.
This is what you left behind.
Exactly. And so that's the kind of ticking time bomb in the back of this guy's mind as this wedding is approaching. He's really trying to make this relationship work out, partially so that he can show up to the wedding with someone on his arm that he's really, you know, to show that he's not a failure and that he's not a loser. He's also falling in love with the woman for real. And then, you know, Jonah's character, Cyrus, is so threatened by anyone getting anywhere near his mom that he begins to he sets out to destroy me, essentially. But the interesting thing about the movie is that I don't realize it at first. I think he's actually being very friendly with me. And then it turns out, you know, that's even creepier than someone just coming right out and saying they don't like you, pretending like they really like you, when in fact they're manipulating the situation the whole time is really...
Sounds like show business to me.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the movie. The plot of the movie is not the most, you know, a guy meets a woman, she has a son, there's a problem. That's not the most groundbreaking storyline. But I have to say, this movie tells that story in a really honest, emotional way. And it does, we did a lot of improvisation in terms of the dialogue. And these filmmakers, Mark and Jay Duplass, who did The Puffy Chair, they work in a way that they're really open to whatever happens, the truth of the moment, to the point where they were throwing out their own script. They're like, yeah, don't worry about the lines. You know, just put it in your own words.
But that probably happens a lot with you anyway, doesn't it? I mean,
well,
because you seem among actors who, even in major studio films, you improvise a lot anyway, don't you?
That's true. I do improvise a lot, but it's usually like you do the scene as written, and then maybe you start to mix up a couple... You are riffing on the same funny idea, you know, so you're staying within a zone. Or in a more dramatic film, like usually you improvise a little bit at the beginning of the scene to get you into it, or a little bit at the end of the scene to kind of wrap things up. You know, you're just kind of filling in details more.
But you're still basically trying to service a script in one way or another. And
right.
In this case.
Well, all films have to be custom made. Anyway, what sets Mark and Jay Duplass apart from even filmmakers like, you know, Robert Altman that I improvised a lot with, these guys are literally willing to let the story completely change. And we're not even going to do the scripted version one time. And we're not going to rehearse at all. You know, we might have a conversation, but we won't have a group conversation amongst all the actors. We'll talk to the actors individually. So this movie, I mean, it's a the reason I think it's so exciting, why audiences are responding to it so much, is that it's really honestly told. And, you know, these guys, they come from this, you know, someone else came up with this name for this film movement called Mumblecore. And, you know, everyone hates the name.
You're listening to The Treatment. I'm talking to John C. Reilly. His new film as actor is Cyrus. It's one of those things like independent film or alternative music. It's now become almost like a brand name, and people are told what to expect. But these films are very different from movie to movie.
But I think the only thing that really binds all these younger filmmakers together, like Mark and Jay and, you know, Joe Swanberg and, you know, some of these other filmmakers coming up, is that they're kind of tired of the artifice of movie making, and they're tired of processed storytelling. And really, you know, the biggest sin for Mark and Jay was that something seemed movie-ish. You know, it was like, oh, no, no, no. You know, that's, you know, anything that seemed too manipulated or too rehearsed, or they wanted the honest truth of the moment at all costs. Even when it made them look bad, you know, like some days they'd be there, like, I would say, well, what do you want to happen here in this scene? They're like, we don't know. We don't know, and we don't want to know. We want you to discover it in the moment when you're looking at each
other. Did you like hearing that from a director, hearing that, I don't know, you find it for yourself and we'll go along with it?
Well, it's a big responsibility to be handed. Yeah, it's liberating, and it's really empowering as an actor. But the lazy part of me wanted just to memorize the lines and, you know, do what they wanted me to do. It's easier to be an actor than if you're working in that way. But I'm really glad that they stuck to their guns and they were confident enough to treat this movie, even though they had millions of dollars in the studio behind them, the same way they treated the puffy chair, which they made for 10 grand with their friends and a tiny little Hi-8 video camera, you know. Having said that they let us improvise so much and they wanted us to make these discoveries, they really were the authors of the story, too. We'd shoot for like an hour. We shot it on digital video, so there'd be very long takes and a lot of kind of rambling dialogue and just us, the actors, kind of floundering around trying to find their way. And then they would go off, the two of them, alone for 20 minutes and just walk down the street. And the whole crew, I mean, these professional movie crew people are like, where are they going? Why are the directors suddenly taking a 20-minute walk away from the set? But that's, you know, that's how they do it. And then they get home that night and they try to digest what they shot that day. And then what I really realized was the screenwriting that was done before we shot was just one part of the screenwriting. I think what these guys really do is they write the script in the editing room. They go out there, they try to get as many honest moments as possible. They try to get people interacting the way human beings really do as opposed to movie characters. And then when they get into the editing room with their editing partner, Jay Doobie, he's like kind of like the third Duplass brother, they say, they craft this story into something really beautiful, and I'm really proud of this movie. It allowed me to be funny and improvise, you know, similar to the way I've done in, you know, Talladega Nights or Step Brothers or whatever. But it also allowed us through improvisation to go to real emotional places, really vulnerable, emotional, real human places. And I think it's very original as a result.
It's The Treatment. That enthusiastic person you're hearing right now is John C. Reilly. He's the star of the new Duplass Brothers film, Cyrus. As you were talking about it, though, I thought that there's a scene, that scene when you start to basically make your own party and Molly is watching you, seemed to me to be kind of like almost a classic John C. Reilly scene where, you know, almost every character you play, with the exception maybe of the character you played last when you came here, Criminal, the guys you play, even if they're delusional, they pride themselves on their honesty and being direct. And this seemed like the most concentrated version of that guy.
Well, I think that has to do with the improvisation, you know. It's like when you don't have the lines to hide behind and you don't really have the script, you're really left to your own defenses. You know, you're really left to What's my honest reaction to what you just said, you know?
But do you know what I mean? I mean, you found a way to make almost everybody you played. I'm thinking of promotion. I'm thinking to some extent even Step Brothers, because
right.
in this movie, it's like you're playing the father in Step Brothers now rather than being the son.
Right.
And that power dynamic changes because you have somebody who's infantile and refuses to be direct with you, and you're trying to be direct. But
yeah.
you that directness is something that's central to every character you played almost.
I guess so. It's central to the way that I work, I think. I don't know how to just make things funny, you know? Like, I don't know how to do that. I know how to play characters, and the only way I know how to play characters is to try to be as truthful as possible.
But these characters you played, though, I mean, again, I want to talk about the promotion a little bit, because
yeah.
I think it's a movie that people didn't see, and I think it's really something. That guy was the same thing. He was determined to tell the truth as he knew it.
Yeah.
And looking back over the, even going back to Dewey Cox,
yeah.
and because he's constantly being surprised, but these are almost always guys who want to find something that makes sense of them in terms of it being the truth and being direct and fairly sort of straightforward about it.
I mean, I've played a lot of different characters, and you can't say this of all the characters that I've played, but a lot of them
sure.
are seekers or dreamers or people that are willing to ignore reality around them to pursue a dream.
Or one thing, even.
Or yeah, one thing. Very focused people. I don't know why that is. You know, I honestly am not a very self-reflective person. I see myself more as kind of a vessel for other personalities, you know. Like, for better or worse, that's kind of who I am. From an early age, I've been doing theater since I was a little kid, and that's just always been the way it is with me. Like, if you really tried to pin me down and say, well, what are the qualities of your personality? I don't know that I could really tell you with confidence. I guess I know what I like, but in terms of what my core personality is, I don't have a lot of self-awareness in that way.
You wouldn't say that you're a pretty sort of direct and straightforward person yourself? I mean,
Okay. I would say that, sure.
Okay.
But I don't go around kind of with a version of myself in my head. I just kind of see myself as this constantly changing thing. And I'm most comfortable when I have a character to play, you know? Like, I just kind of, I don't know. Like, I remember this prayer when I was a kid. I grew up Catholic. And there's this prayer, I think it's St. Francis or somebody said, make me a vessel of your peace. Like, as this, make me a conduit for this greater thing. And that really appealed to me as a kid. I was like, yeah. That's me. That's what I am. I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel for your peace or whatever, you know, or your character. Yeah.
But at this point, it sounds, for Cyrus, like you were really trying to figure out what the vessel was going to be. And in many cases, you have some idea when you step onto the floor because the script isn't that changeable. It's not
yeah.
that fluid.
I mean, my personal circumstances are very different than the guy's personal circumstances. But emotionally, I went to a lot of places that felt very familiar to me. I didn't have to play, like, pretend like I was 12 years old, you know? Like, you know, Walk Hard, for a while there, I had to pretend I was 14 years old. It's just a weird thing to do. Like, I could have a kind of the world view of my own age, you know? And whenever you play a character that's got nothing to lose, it's really fun because some of the rules of everyday life don't apply to them. And this guy, he's in such a dark place in his life. He's so lost and alone that he really has nothing to lose, you know? And it's a really exciting character to play for that reason.
We'll take a break. My guest is actor John C. Reilly. His new film as actor is the Duplass Brothers film, Cyrus. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's a treatment. There's more to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. My guest is John C. Reilly. He's starring in Cyrus, and it's always good to have him here talking about what he does. And a lot of the characters that you play, and again, certainly they're not all the same, they don't care if people see how vulnerable they are. I mean, there's that kind of honesty too. And they often are surrounded by people who aren't nearly as honest with themselves as these guys are.
Right.
And that creates some discomfort because, you know, these are guys who always say, this is what I think, this is who I am. Not shouldn't say always, but so often that creates, especially here when you've got somebody who's your polar opposite,
right,
who's hiding everything from you.
Yeah. If I have a super objective to my work, it's to illuminate the human condition, you know, like those are the parts that excite me, are the characters who aren't so guarded, that you see a bit more of their emotions than you do in everyday encounters, you know. I think that's what art is supposed to do. You're supposed to get a little more than you get in life. You get to see a little more into a person's heart, you know, kind of opening your heart on camera, because that's interesting. Sometimes I watch actors and I think, wow, they really think they're a lot smarter than their character. This objective disconnect from a character, it's really boring to watch. It's like watching, you know, a puppet show where you can see the puppeteer's bored face. You know, like whenever I play a character, I really believe their point of view. I really see the world the way that they see it, and I identify with it, and I commiserate with that person. You know, I don't like to feel superior to the characters that I'm playing.
There must be something about this kind of filmmaking, because I can hear your excitement in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were last here talking about Criminal, it was the same kind of thing. And it's when you're really moved by something that you're doing, I can just see you like going over in your head as you're talking about it, all the things, the elements that brought you to it in the first place.
Yeah, it's exciting to work with people who are trying to upend the matrix, you know, like maybe we don't succeed at every moment in the movie, but there's a real genuine attempt to get at the truth and to get at what really happens between people. I think that's really admirable. You know, Jay and Mark are very gifted filmmakers who I'm sure could job out and make a lot of different kind of stylized Hollywood movies that don't have as much heart.
You think they could? Because
technically they could.
Okay.
They know what they're doing. They
sure.
They know how to, like, they could sell themselves out to the highest bidder. But well, it's just exciting to work with people that have any kind of vision, you know?
It's almost like you're saying, though, that they're dealing in the same way that you are, that they don't want to be bored by it.
Yeah, I think it's just we become this culture that's so been there, done that, you know, like the kind of Borg of marketing and advertising that we're hit with every day. You know, it can either make you really cynical. I don't know. What it's done with Mark and Jay, I think, and what it's done with me is like I only want to work on stuff that is really inspiring, you know, that try to seek out people looking to tell the truth in one way or another, you know, whether that's through a movie about what really happens to porn stars in the San Fernando Valley, or whether it's what happens when an older guy starts dating an older woman with a son, you know, like what really happens, you know? It's like a vitamin deficiency in audiences, too. Like, everyone's really craving it. They want that. They want more genuine storytelling. That's why when, you know, suddenly, a movie like Once or even Slumdog Millionaire, like, these things just explode all of a sudden because they're so different than most of the processed crap that we're being forced to choose from, you know?
It's a treat when I'm talking to John C. Reilly. His new film as actor is Cyrus. Well, that's where you really see the hunger for something like that, because the cynicism you're talking about, there's so much of what we think of as independent film that's basically become a cheap version of genre filmmaking.
Yeah.
And these films, what has become known as mumblecore, I almost feel in some ways, is a reaction to that kind of cheap manipulation, basically filling out the form and hitting all the notes so you know where the film's going to take you.
Yeah. I mean, it's no mistake that all these specialty divisions at the studios don't exist anymore, because they started making these movies and I think the studios just realized, like, well, a movie either makes money or it doesn't. If it makes money, we want it to be our movie, not our specialty division's movie. You know, and so it's kind of, you know, independent film got kind of absorbed into the Borg somehow.
But you worked with in a lot of big studio films with directors,
yeah,
who have that kind of specificity of vision that we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm always quick to point out that you can be an independent filmmaker regardless of your budget. If you're telling your story and it's your vision and no one's telling you can't do this or you can't do that. You know, I always say, like, films should be a pyramid structure with a director at the top of the pyramid. And, you know, and any time I've worked on a movie when that wasn't the case, whether it be a $3 million movie or a $30 million movie, something is very wrong when the director is not like the quarterback. It's like if everyone on the team is taking plays from somewhere else, it just looks like a mess on the field. But if there's one person calling the play, then it's this beautiful, fluidly executed thing.
Do you know what you're saying? Is interesting, but in the abstract, hearing the way you talked about, for example, the Duplass brothers walking off the set to go and talk to each other for 20 minutes, for the average listener, that could sound like a kind of a dereliction of duty almost, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, to some of the crew, I think it was. They're like, what are we doing? The set is lit. The actors are ready. Why are they walking away? You know, and that's just, they just forced, you know, they I can't tell you, there were many, I witnessed many moments where someone from the studio or who or the ADs or whoever tried to say, like, well, this is the way this is done. And like, huh, well, that's the way it's done when you do it. But that's not the way we do it. So, you know, hats off to them for sticking to their guns, because if you stick to your guns in terms of your vision, the movie is going to be interesting. You know, it might not be the most successful movie. Maybe it falls apart at the end or whatever, but it'll be interesting. It'll be an original. You'll see the handmade quality of it, you know. And all the best directors, whether, you know, whether it's Wolfgang Peterson or Martin Scorsese or Paul Anderson or Robert Altman or, you know, Mark and Jay Duplass, there's one person, or in this case, a pair of people, sharing the same brain, as they say. With a singular idea, with an aesthetic that everything else conforms to.
I wonder, in a case like this, when you're so engaged by the process, do you find that a lot of the frustrations you maybe had on movies where you weren't like this, you're basically using it as a way to kind of almost expunge that kind of stuff and get it out of your system a little bit?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time now. This is like, I think it's close to my 50th movie, Cyrus. And you know, I've worked with some older actors on movies in the past, and they can be awfully grumpy. You know, like some older veteran actors, I'm not going to name names, but I think what it does to you as an actor, after you've done it for a long time, servicing other people's visions, either it just becomes the thing that you do and you kind of just go with the flow and it doesn't bother you, or it starts to drive you crazy because you have thoughts. You have a story you want to tell. You have, like, the author's impulse, you know?
Sure.
And it can be very frustrating if you don't have that outlet. And improvisation for me has been a way to get some of that, you know, out of my system, to feel like, yeah, I'm part of this. I'm part of this. I'm part of the storytelling here. I'm part of, you know, I'm not just a puppet, you know, bringing someone else's words to life. And the more I do it, the more I realize, like, you know, I've got stories that I've written out and outlines for scripts. And
is that next for you?
I think so. That's the kind of the general direction I've been working on. I helped write on a couple of the recent things that I've done, and that's where things are kind of heading. I just optioned a manuscript that I'm kind of developing the screenplay for with the writer. And, you know, I think you have to really be ready as an actor to sit back and let someone else do the acting. But that's the direction I'm heading in. Before I die, I'd like to tell a few stories of my own.
It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm talking to John C. Reilly. He stars in the new film, Cyrus. It sounds like as you become more and more confident as a collaborator, it seems almost like the creativity has been kind of loosened in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just, after a while, you're just like, what have I got to lose, you know?
Huh.
Like, these people, you know, for a long time in my career, it was kind of like every director that I worked with was discovering me for the first time. Like, who is this kid? Yeah, you know, and that went on for like 13 or, you know, basically until I met Paul Anderson. He was one of the first people who put all my work together and was like, you know, this guy is great. And he can do this. He can do more than any of you have seen. So it took me a long time to just feel like I was worthy of a place at the table. You know what I mean? It's been really great. You know, some of the first people that did it in a real formal way were Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, the way that they solicited my input on Talladega Nights, and then we all wrote Step Brothers together. So that was really like, you know, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. You know, people really like me. They want my ideas. You know,
because
it's a big thing. It takes a long time to accept that you're worthy enough for that kind of attention. You know, for me anyway.
Really?
Yeah, like a guilty Catholic from a working class neighborhood in Chicago. It took me a long time to feel like I belonged in a place of creative control on a movie.
But getting that kind of trust and being able to show that kind of confidence because people are trusting you, that must be as liberating as anything else. It must feel like a whole new lease on your career in some ways, does it not?
I don't know. It's a tricky time right now because I feel like for the first time people know me as a person. They know my name. They see me and they know who I am. And so that I've always avoided that, you know. I've worked behind the scenes for years now trying to like have people forget who I am, and I didn't do a lot of press that involved me personally or whatever. And now it's kind of funny, like I'm having to find tricky ways to stay ahead of the audience these days. You know, they see your face coming, they think, oh, he's going to be funny or he's going to be this, and so the next few things I have coming out should help along with the confusion of the audience.
And was that finally part of the motivation in doing Cyrus 2? It felt like a way to confound expectations?
Really, you know, the biggest reason I did Cyrus was, you know, I grew up in Chicago. I went to an acting school called the Theater School at DePaul University, which is like a conservatory program, and I studied improvisation there. And I studied this book by Viola Spolin called Games for the Theater. And that's the kind of holy Bible behind the scenes of The Groundlings and Second City. That's really what ties everyone together is Viola Spolin and the basic principles that she had for improvisation and games and ways to bring, you know, actors into the world of improvisation. When you do improvisation in an acting class, it's often really, really funny, you know, but it also can be anything else. It can be heartbreaking. You can have scenes of great drama. You can have scary scenes and weird scenes. And when I heard that Mark and Jay Duplass wanted to work with me and that they were into improvisation and not just to service the joke and to make something funnier or to loosen up a scene, but to literally let the improvisation guide the story and the development of the characters, I was like, that's the Holy Grail. That's the place that I haven't gone yet with improvisation. And that's why I did this movie. I don't know. There's a scene in the movie where I break up with Marissa's character, not to give it away. That was like emotional improvisation. That's art for an actor to be able to go to those places and have a camera capture it.
Thanks so much, John. We're out of time. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you. It was always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Please come back.
I will.
My guest is John C. Reilly. His new film, as exciting to see as it is to hear him talk about, is the film Cyrus by the Duplass Brothers. Our recording engineer at KCRW is Mario Diaz. Bob Carlson is the editor. If you have questions or comments about the show, and I'm sure you do today, go to kcrw.com/thetreatment. Gemma Dempsey's a producer. I'm not improving. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.